song that was announced, we want to mention that 271, to extend the invitation in a little while after our sermon, after our lesson, our Bible lesson, and if you're subject to be baptized, to come and put on Christ for the remission of your sins, contacting his precious blood and being added to the Lord's church by the Lord, and then being faithful, as we're going to talk about tonight, being faithful and doing the things that we need to do in order to please him and go to heaven. If you're an erring child of God and you need to make something right in a public way tonight, then repent of those things, confess those wrongs, and pray God's forgiveness, and certainly the Lord will love you and forgive you, as will your brethren. And we'll be here at the front of the building and try to help you the best we can. There were four people on a plane with only three parachutes. And the plane was going down fast. The first man jumped up and he said, "I'm the strongest man in the world and I need a parachute because the world needs me." And he jumped. And the next man, he got up and he said, "I'm the smartest man in the world and the world really needs me." And he grabbed a parachute and jumped. That left an old man and a young boy. And the older gentleman said, "Son, go. Take the parachute. I've lived my life. I've done the very best I can. I'm ready to meet the Lord. You go and live your life." He said, "No, sir, we can both go." He said, "The smartest man in the world jumped up and grabbed my backpack and jumped out. So I don't want to get too smart." But you don't have to worry about that. It is good to be here. Following Brother Frank is not easy, but it sure is always good to come to the congregation here and be with you, and appreciate the prayer for the school and the instructors and all the ones, the director and the preacher here, and all of you and the elders. I thank you so much for having enough confidence in me to have me come back. You can come once, but if they have you back, you might have done all right. And tonight, the subject, of course, is prepare to share, but the general theme of the Vacation Bible School on the book is fishing with the Master. And in Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17, we know the Lord said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to get people to come to Christ, to New Testament Christianity, to find out exactly what the New Testament teaches so that they can be obedient to the gospel of Christ. But my lesson tonight is prepare to share. A couple scriptures come to mind in Acts 2 and verse 44. "And all that believed were together and had all things common." And that ought to be our attitude, and that ought to be what we're all about as members of the body of Christ, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. A passage comes to mind in Acts 4 and verse 32. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." And so the principle is there of sharing the things we have and who we are and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll be talking about all of those things in the lesson tonight. The English word, the word share, is not in the Bible in the New Testament. The principle is giving of what you have. Giving of ourselves really is what it's all about. A person is to deny himself in Luke 9 and verse 23 and take up his cross daily and follow Christ. But we share our time and our talents and our money and ourselves and the gospel and all the things that we know to help people so they can be better off than they were. They have a need, and if we can fill that need, we try to do that because we learn from the great teacher, from Christ, that he did that. The definition, I guess, a common definition of to share is to give freely of what you have because you want to and there are no strings attached to it. It's one of those things that you see someone in need and you want to help them. In our class book, they suggest that we use this point. In our class book, it makes a point about giving blood. And when people are in need of blood, there are some great folks that step up to the plate and they give their blood to help them. He said the ads go something like this. You don't know me, but if you need my blood, I will give it to you. And that is a great gift, to have a need like that and have a person come and fill that need, that they were willing to share the gift of blood with you so that you could live and that so you could live a better life. The person sharing their blood is a very unselfish person. And when we think about sharing and giving, I'll probably be using the word giving a lot tonight, it is from an unselfish heart. There are different types of blood, and the rare blood is Rh negative blood. Those types are very rare. You may have one of those blood types. What do you think if a person would just step up and they had that and they could give it and it would help, and they'd say, well, I'm just not going to give it to you? What if they just refused to help you? In the Navy, in about 66, I believe 1966, I had to have my spleen removed. And I needed a lot of blood. And there were those Navy men that gave their blood for me. I think even my family back home was giving blood to replace what would be used. I was in the hospital for 4 months. And I saw an early discharge, a medical discharge. And a young man about 19 years old would be paid the rest of his life. They patched me up and sent me back to the fleet. Yep. But I lived because people gave blood, because I was a recipient of need of blood transfusions. And there were people that would freely give that. I was just in a gospel meeting visiting many brethren, and I held 4 meetings this spring. I know preachers hold more than that, but that almost killed me. I held one at a place where it was my 20th meeting, and I thought I'd get Frank Higginbotham. And I said to him, have you ever held 20 meetings in one place? He said, nope, 33. But we were visiting, and we put about 500 miles on ourselves, a preacher and I, that week, trying to go to hospitals and places to visit. And one sister in Christ, we visited in the clinic while she received her kidney dialysis. I'd never been back. I'd been there to the places and taken people, but never been back inside, and they let us come in and talk to her. And there were about 12 people lined up on one wall and 12 people on the other wall in chairs, and every machine was running. Everybody was taking the dialysis. Some people took it from 4 hours a day to 6 hours a day. She would actually go 3 times a week. And she said that her husband's sister, her husband's a member, she's a member, and his sister's a member, her sister-in-law, was going to give her a kidney. And everything looked good, and all the tests were finished. And what a gift that a person would look at that person and say, I can help that person, and I'm going to give the gift of a kidney to that person. We visited the sister-in-law that week also, that day, I believe. Could not catch the lady's husband, but he was working. But all 3 of them had something in common. They were working on this. They were in the church. And all 3 of them had stopped attending services. And I cannot understand that at a time when they would really need the Lord. And so we talked to them, and we were encouraged by the 2 ladies at least that they were going to return. But can you imagine one needing blood and one stepping up and saying, I'm going to give that to you so you can live and live a better life? One needing a kidney and one saying, I'm going to give that to you so you can live and live a better life. And what a marvelous gift, and what marvelous gifts they are when people share things like that And words can't express. Just saying thank you to them doesn't seem like enough. But it's not the greatest gift of all. And it's not the greatest love of all. And we can look at examples like that, hundreds and hundreds of examples, stories like that. But when we go back to the greatest love of all and the greatest gift of all, that's how we begin to learn how we're going to share what we have. Ourselves, our money, our talents, the gospel, all of those things that are needed. In Romans 5 and verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I submit unto you that you see the love of God, and you see the sacrifice of Christ, and you see one of the greatest gifts of all, the greatest gift of all, and the greatest love of all. In Hebrews 2 verse 9, Jesus tasted death for every man. And in 1 John 2 and 2, the word propitiation just simply means he's the satisfaction. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so when one goes back and starts to look at passages like that, one says, where would I be without the great mercy and grace and love of God and the great sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God and the precious blood of Christ? Acts 20 and 28, Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And of course that happens and that takes place as we see it in Acts 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. We're being born again of John 3, 3 and 5. And Jesus said in John 3, 7, you must be born again. And if a man or group of men or a person or a woman or any person came along and said, you do not have to be born again, they are wrong because Jesus said, you must be born again. And so this begins to help us see how we prepare ourselves to be able to share whatever gift we're going to share with people in the church and in this world. Because we look back to the greatest giver, the greatest gift, the greatest love of all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We talked about a blood type, but Christ's blood reaches all men, for it is for all men. It is the precious blood of Christ, as we look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. It is the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And so it helps us to look at these verses. The perfect sacrifice for you and I to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel really means the good news of Jesus Christ. Words come to mind when we're going to share. Words like this are going to have to be a part of our life, a part of our vocabulary. It's going to take sacrifice, love, work, giving, commitment, steadfastness, diligence, just to name a few. But we see all that in these passages that we've used, and certainly in John 3 and verse 16. So I think in speaking tonight about preparing to share, we must look at passages like this. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19. Where do we learn of this great love? From the very word of God. That God loved us. And sent his only begotten son to die for us. But I think one of the keys, if we're ever going to prepare ourselves to share and share properly and do the right things with it, is going to be in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, there's a tremendous passage there. The Macedonian churches, out of their poverty they gave. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Why could they do the great things that they did out of their poverty? Because they loved the Lord. And because they made the true commitment to give themselves to the Lord. That's a key for any of us. That's a key for all of us. To understand in the Lord's church, in the kingdom, that we must first give ourselves to Christ. And when we do, nothing will be too big for us if we're able to do it, if we have the ability, the talent, the means, the opportunity. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4, they were able to give out of their deep poverty. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. But the key verse is verse 5. The reason they were able to do this is because they first gave themselves to the Lord. And then he says, unto us, by the will of God. And verse 9 is very important in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Now we're starting to learn about what it means to give, to love, to share, to do those things that are necessary in Christ. This bothers me. I need to tell it, but it still bothers me to this day. And I hope it always does. It taught me one of the greatest and valuable lessons I've ever seen. But I was visiting one of the brothers in Christ, one of the members of East Liverpool, some years ago at the hospital. He was very ill and very weak. And when I came in and spoke to him, I could tell he was happy about something. He'd just been out to therapy. And they brought him back to his room and he was lying flat. He had to lie flat for so long. And I couldn't hardly hear what he was saying. And he took my head, took my neck with his hand and pulled me down clear to his ear. And he said, Will, I got to talk to some people about Christ and the church today. Some of the therapists or nurses, they were listening. And he was so excited about it. In 3 days, he passed from this life. I conducted the funeral services at the church building. And I told that very story. That still teaches me a great lesson. There are people, there are members of the church that are not ill, that go about every day that never talked to anybody about Jesus. And here's a man lying on his sick bed and soon to be his deathbed. And he was so excited because he talked to people about the church. Friends, we've got to have that. We've got to have that quality in our life to be able to share these things with people that need to hear it. We've been all the way to the moon and back, and we can't walk across the street and teach our neighbors and our friends about Christ. How about the early church and some of the things that they did? And this is a passage that has helped me so much. I love this passage. In Acts 8 and 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now you could ask the question in this wonderful room tonight with all of these wonderful people and say, what would you do? And most would say, I'd do the same thing. I would say, I don't know. I pray that I would do what they did. You do not know till you're under pressure. And they're threatening you with your life or your children's life. But I would pray that we would do what they did. When they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. They were strong and they were courageous in the face of adversity. It takes courage to do the right thing under fire. I can remember, and I do not know all the background or any of the background about the young lady, but when the Columbine shootings were occurring, these people that were shooting people were going from room to room, and they went in one room, and she evidently were was at one point talking to them about God, because they said, deny him and we won't shoot you. And she said, I will not deny God. And they shot her. That was the stories going out. But what kind of courage does it take to be able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world when people are telling you, be quiet? People are not telling us to be quiet today. Just sometimes we're being quiet on our own. Instead of really having that desire and that zeal to take this gospel message everywhere we go, we ought to make a difference every place we go. I could never understand the stories that were told, and there have been many, and there have been those on the other side of the coin, of a person working on a bench and a person working to the right of them, a person working to the left of them, and the person working at this bench is a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. And they said they worked there for 30 years. And when that person died, the people only could find out through the newspaper they were a member of the Church of Christ. That's a frightening thing. But then you can see the other side of the coin. There have been those, and I have seen cases of this. People come to funerals that I never met and said, I worked with this person, and this person was a righteous person. That's a wonderful thing. But they worked at the bench with a person to the right and left and down the way. And everyone knew they were Christian. We're going to have that desire to make a difference everywhere we go. And it takes that commitment to Christ. It's no secret thing. In 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There must be a commitment on our part. And when we make that commitment to Christ, like we read to you about the Macedonian churches, they first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In Galatians 2:20, Paul would talk about being crucified with Christ. And that's what it must take on our part. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Willing to suffer. In this passage of scripture in 2 Timothy 1:12, willing to suffer. I'm not ashamed, and that reminds us of Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I know in whom I have believed, as in that passage. I am persuaded that he can keep what I have committed unto him against that great day. We're all going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A story was told of a little boy that was carrying, he was in 5 or 6, and he carried a Bible to school. And this really happened. It was on the news channel. But he must have been frightened, descended upon him and found out he had a Bible. What a terrible thing to have. And sent him home. Whether expelled him or not, but sent him home. Like he had a gun or a knife. And some mothers came to school to read, and this was on the news program. And they could choose any book they wanted, and some of the mothers chose books that were wrong, off color, dirty, and they let them use them. And a mother brought a Bible or Bible stories, and they made her leave. Now, friends, we need to have that commitment to Christ that when this world says we're going to shut Christ out of everything, everywhere, we're going to say, no, not so. Because every place we go, they're going to see Christ in us. And that's the true commitment we must make. We need a study of 2 Timothy 2:15. This is preparation to share. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then you might be able to help along the lines of Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Studying and knowing what the Bible teaches so I can take the Great Commission as the Bible teaches. of Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Romans 1, 16, the gospel is the power of God and salvation. Luke 8, 11, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So I want to take that seed and broadcast it where I go. And after all, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, this treasure has been placed in the hands of earthen vessels. We're earthen vessels that have the gospel of Jesus Christ, that where we go and when we go, and we're going somewhere every day. My day started at 4:30 this morning. I was actually going to go in at the late hour of 6 o'clock in the morning. That sounds early to you, but that's late to me. And I was going to go in at 6, nothing was going on, and I received a phone call at 4:30 to head out and got home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you never know where you're going to be or what you're going to be doing, but take that gospel, it's placed in the hands of earthen vessels. What are some things we can do to prepare ourselves? 2 Peter 1, really 5 through 10, he said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. And then he goes on to say, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall either be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Don't forget the day you were baptized into Christ. Don't forget the day you were purged from your old sins. You were born again, John 3, 3 and 5, we've mentioned. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I think if we forget that day and the zeal we had when we came from the water, we're not going to do the job we can do. That zeal ought to keep on growing. And then he says in verse 10, for if you do these things, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so I believe that these are some of the things that we put into our life and our hearts and follow to help us share. Whatever we do, help the needy, give a ride to someone that needs a ride, to worship services and Bible studies, to doctor's offices, to treatments. How many miles, Gene, have we walked the hospital corridors? And we keep on walking them because we are there someday and people come for us. And we know what it feels like. Brother Buck Groves just came to see me. He had an ulterior motive, but he came to visit me. He walked in, I had the kidney stones, I was lying in the bed, and he said, oh, I'm glad to see you're doing better. Will you hold a gospel meeting for us in 3 weeks? Well, if I get out of here, take food, teaching, visiting, calling people, sending cards, whatever we can do for the cause of Christ. And don't think any job or whatever job you do is a small job. Whatever you do is a great job in the eyes of the Lord. In Job 29, 15, I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I wonder if we couldn't do that. I wonder if we couldn't help someone along those lines when it comes to sharing the things we have of Christ. In Mark 14, 8, she hath done what she could. And I want you to know that when you go to work in the church, you're going to get criticism from the outside world and sometimes from your brethren, from people that will not work. They want you to stop working. Get out of my way, bub. I came here to work. And she was criticized, and Jesus said she had done what she could when she brought that alabaster box. Oh, it was expensive. Oh, we could give it to the poor. Oh, what a waste. Do you know what was said there? Anything you do for Jesus is not a waste. In Matthew 10:42, give a cup of cold water. But the key to all of it is this, all of these things, but compassion. We're going to need and have to have compassion to be able to prepare to share with people. Compassion does something about the situation. Compassion doesn't just come along and say, oh, that's a sad situation. Compassion rolls up its sleeves and says, I want to help. I want to do what I can. I want to help you live a better life. In Mark 6:34, Jesus was moved with compassion. They were sheep having no shepherd, and he taught them. In each occasion here, he sees a need and does something about it. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus had compassion and he healed the sick. And in Matthew 15:32, the disciples were hungry. With him 3 days, I'm not going to send them away fasting. He fed them. Can we have compassion? In your preparation to share, don't forget compassion. We're going to need it. We're going to need it in our life as we go. I may have told this story, I don't know, but it drives the point home. I was still a deacon at Chester, and we lived on a 21-acre farm, and there were some folks, I was told, just up the road from us. You could see their house from our house. And that there were a large family hungry. And so I talked to the elders at Chester and obtained some boxes of food. And I went in one evening excited to be able to take that in. And as I got out, there was this man standing there. And he said, "You're not coming in here with that." Now, if I'd been like my mother, I'd have whipped him and gone on in. But I was like my dad. He said, "It's a sad set of legs that'll stand there and get whipped." I wasn't going to fight. And I said, "Why?" He said, "We don't accept charity here." Do you know what charity is? Charity's love. And he said, "We don't accept that. We don't accept love." You're hoping when you run to the motel and you have the reservation and you have the American Express, they accept it. We don't accept American Express. I'll sleep in the car. So I put, he said, "Put the food, you're not bringing it in here." So I put it back in the car, went home. It wasn't 15 minutes, the phone rang. And it was this lady of the house, and they had several children. And she said, "Mr. Montgomery, can you bring that food back?" And I said, "Yeah, is that fellow still standing in the doorway?" She said, "No, he's gone." Said he's driving truck and he has money in his pocket and he'll eat tonight. We don't have a thing in this house. It didn't take me 2 seconds to jump in that car, get back up to that house to take that in. I'm not telling you that to brag about what I've done. I'm saying that this is what we need to do. And then lastly, this is the last point. In your preparation to share, don't forget to be happy. Don't look like you're weaned on a dill pickle. Hang around with Norm Leach for a day and your face will be sore laughing. Hang around with Norm Leach and Will Montgomery and you'll go berserk. You knock on the door and say, "You don't want to obey the gospel, do you?" "No, I don't." "You don't want what I have, do you?" "No, I don't want that." In Philippians 4, 3 and 4, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." We've got to get our name in there, and we need to keep our name in there. And then he said this, because it's there. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." I think we have a lot to rejoice about, having our name in the book of life. If your name is in the book of life, keep it there, and don't look like you're weaned on a dill pickle. Rejoice. A merry heart, the Bible talks about. Laughter is good medicine. It's good for the soul. It's good for you. In Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." I have to wonder what the preacher was thinking that Sunday afternoon. The little boy was sitting at the end of the table and the preacher was sitting at the other end, and mother was here and dad was here. And the little boy said, "I'm starving to death. Will you pass that old goat down here?" And he said, "Son, we're having ham." He said, "Well, you and mother said last night it's our turn Sunday to have the old goat for dinner." I wonder what that preacher was thinking. And did he smile? In John 10:10, "The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. I submit into you tonight and all the nights that I'll have breath in me that the Christian life is truly the abundant life, because we've tried the other way and it doesn't work. This is the way to go to heaven. Prepare to share whatever you have, and certainly the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. And my question to you tonight is, will you come and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Will you put on Christ? Will you contact His blood? And He'll add you to His church, Acts 2:41 and 47. And if you need to come back to the Lord, come tonight in repenting, confessing wrong, and praying God's forgiveness. As together we stand and sing, will you come?
Lay down thy weary